Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Tropp, and I'm your host, Katie Tropp. Well, let's get right into that Monday Night Football matchup that we had in Mexico City. Unfortunately, the Mexicans did not get that great of a game. I mean, it did look pretty cool just because there were a lot of San Francisco 49ers fans in the building, so that was pretty cool to see. I mean, like, every play they had, you could just tell that it was predominantly Niners fans. So I guess they did get a good show because they were mostly Niners fans. But man, yeah, it was just all 49ers all fucking night. The Niners stomped the Cardinals 38-10. It wasn't even close. I mean, Colt McCoy, I kind of assumed that with him starting, it wasn't going to be a good game. I mean, even if Kyler started, I still don't think it was going to be a good game because the Cardinals kind of suck. And the 49ers are in the opposite direction right now as the Cardinals. The Cardinals are just careening into the ground, whereas the Niners are just getting better with each and every game. They look like one of the most complete teams in the league right now. And I know this is going to sound biased because y'all know I'm a huge Dallas Cowboys fan, but in my personal opinion, the two most complete teams in the NFC are the 49ers and the Cowboys. If you just really look at them defensively, offensively, they've got the weapons, but they also have the shaky quarterbacks who are known to kind of fuck up a situation for you. So I kind of feel like the 49ers and Cowboys are not only the two best teams in the NFC, but I would not be surprised if that's who we end up with in the NFC Championship game. So obviously we still have a long ways to go. But the Niners, man, they're just looking great. And they just held it down in this game. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo had a spectacular game. He went 20 for 29, 228 yards and 4 touchdowns, which, by the way, is now a record for a Mexico City game. It used to actually, the record was owned by good old Tom Brady. He had 3 touchdowns in a Mexico City game a few years ago. And so now Jimmy Garoppolo is now the record holder of the most touchdowns in a Mexico City game with 4 touchdowns. So congratulations to him. The 49ers just had a complete game. That defense is nothing to fuck with either. He's on the Chargers. I meant Nick Bosa, the hot one. He's just been killing it this season, but he's just making life hell for every quarterback and every freaking offensive line that he plays. But also, I am loving this Hufanga dude who plays safety for the Niners. Man, this guy is in on every single play. When the ball is in the secondary anywhere, this dude is nuts. Loving it. He's a ball hawk. He's got 4 interceptions on the season. So 49ers just killed the Arizona Cardinals in the Monday Night Football matchup, 38-10. All right, so let's get into my top 10 NFL power rankings for the week. We actually have us a new number one, y'all. And that's the Kansas City Chiefs. Overall record of 8-2. I've had the Eagles as my number one team pretty much all season long. And it was difficult for me to put the Chiefs above them. But right now, the Chiefs look like the best team in the league. Patrick Mahomes is playing at the highest level of his career right now. And that says a lot because dude's been on point since the day he hit the league and became a starter in this league. Right now in the season, he leads the league in passing yards with 3,265. He also leads the league in touchdowns with 28 touchdowns, and he only has 7 interceptions on the season. And just the Chiefs, even though offensively beyond Mahomes and Kelsey, Kelsey has 855 yards and 11 touchdowns on the season, by the way. So he's just having a phenomenal year, and he's so much fun to fucking watch. It's just crazy to see the way tight ends are nowadays. It used to be pretty much like Shannon Sharp, I believe, was kind of the beginning of this athletic tight end. And then it just kind of morphed from there. And now we have Travis Kelce, who is just, he's so athletic. It's nuts to see that this dude can block. He could take the biggest fucking hits because you know he's getting hit on every single play. And he catches touchdowns like no other. But beyond those two on offense, everybody else is very shaky and questionable. But it doesn't fucking matter because Mahomes is on fire. And then defensively, they're fairly mediocre, but they're getting the job done. So in my opinion, I feel like the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the league right now. And so they have now officially taken over the top spot on the top 10 NFL power rankings. At number two, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. They did not fall far. Their overall record of 9-1. I mean, it really is just because of their last 2 weeks, they've kind of fallen off and really haven't been as dominating, whereas the Chiefs are just dominating everybody they play right now. Jalen Hurts, though, this dude is having such a great season. Currently on the season, he's passed for 2,407 yards, 15 touchdowns, and only 3 interceptions, plus 440 rushing yards and 8 rushing touchdowns. This guy is doing it all for the Eagles on the offensive side of the ball. But then you turn to the defense. Overall, this defense has 13 interceptions on the season, which I believe leads the league, or it's tied for the league lead. And then Hassan Reddick, he has 3 forced fumbles on the season, and he's pretty much just been in on every single play defensively. Really, the Eagles are a complete team, and they just look really good. But Jalen Hurts is also basically doing what Mahomes is doing for the Chiefs. Jalen Hurts is carrying this squad and having a phenomenal season while doing it. Then at number 3 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Buffalo Bills, overall record of 7-3. They did have finally a good game. Now, that before the last two games, they just were awful. This game, they had a really solid game. Josh Allen has 2,930 passing yards in the season, 21 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. But man, it's all about Stephon Diggs, that wide receiver. He's got 1,033 yards on the season, 8 touchdowns. But also this defense, they are not getting a lot of credit for what they're doing just because, you know, Josh Allen and Diggs are on the opposite side of the ball. So it's all about the offense. But defensively, the Bills are looking really good, and they're ball hawks too. They also are tied for the league in interceptions with the Eagles, with 13 interceptions overall defensively. So just they're really getting at the quarterback, really having an overall good season, and the Bills have bumped back up into my power rankings. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the San Francisco 49ers. Overall record of 6-4. So that 6-4 record, I think, is a lot. It doesn't describe how good this team is. Because, you know, they have their growing pains at the beginning, because I personally was not sold on Trey Lance. As a matter of fact, I don't think the Niners would be this good if Trey Lance didn't get hurt. I think they're a better team with Garoppolo. So they kind of had to work Garoppolo back into the season. And I feel like he's finally back to where he wants to be. I mean, he's having one of the best seasons of his career. Like I said, with the Niners, this defense is what's up, man. Bosa has 10.5 sacks on the season. As I mentioned before, Hufanga, who I am just freaking loving, he's got 4 interceptions on the season. And then overall as a squad, the defense has 32 sacks on the season. So you really can't, it's really difficult to score any points against this 49ers defense. And then if you turn to the offensive side of the ball, they have so many weapons from Deebo Samuel to Christian McCaffrey. And I mean, he didn't even have that great of a game on Monday night, but he still made an impact on so many plays. Then you also have Kittle, of course, and then you've got Brandon Ayuk, who's just turned out to be a really solid receiver for the 49ers. So I think their record doesn't speak to how good of a team I feel like the Niners are. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, my Dallas Cowboys. Overall record of 7-3, and this team is all about the defense as well. Micah Parsons is that dude. He's got, I just lost my place, sorry. Micah Parsons has 10 sacks on the season with 3 forced fumbles, and he just has made life hell for every single quarterback he's faced this season. And he's basically in on every single defensive play. I just love watching this dude. He's so much fun to watch, and he's just carrying this defense. But overall, defensively, the Cowboys are tops in the league. They lead the league with 42 sacks. They also lead the league with 14 forced fumbles, and then also 7 interceptions as well. So defensively, they're taking care of business. Then on the offensive side of things, we have the best ground attack in the league with the two-headed monster of Pollard and Zeke. And everybody continues to have this debate every single week, and it does not matter who starts. I don't give a shit who starts at running back. Those two need to touch the ball, and they are both great in whatever situation they're put in. They're both scoring touchdowns. They're both getting the yardage that they need to get. I don't give a shit who starts at running back. Hell, even our third string running back, Davis, I'm liking what I'm seeing from that guy as well. So really, our ground attack's excellent. The offensive line, we're getting Tyron Smith back pretty soon here, guys. So the offensive line's already held it down, and we'll see what he's got to bring to the table as well. And so I'm just really loving what I'm seeing from the Cowboys. And we'll see what we got coming up tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day for my boys. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Minnesota Vikings. Overall record of 8-2. I've kind of felt like they were a shaky team all season, even though they've led the league in wins for the most part. They've been winning like no other. But last week, they really laid an egg. And that even though the Cowboys are a solid team, you never want to get beat 40-3. That's just a really bad look, no matter who you are. So that definitely drops them below some teams, just because I've always felt like the Vikings are kind of fugazi. And it was kind of proven last week, although they still are doing great. I mean, Justin Jefferson, he is right behind, just on the heels of Tyreek Hill in leading the lead in receiving yards with 1,093 and 4 touchdowns. So Jefferson is just a killer. But then you also have Smith on the linebacker who they picked up from the Packers in the offseason. He has been a huge driving force as to why this defense is just really holding it down. And he's got 8.5 sacks on the season. But the Vikings did take a tumble this week in my top 10. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Miami Dolphins. Overall record of 7-3. Now, they are coming off of a bye week, so they didn't really do anything this week. But even though they're coming off of a bye week, Tyreek Hill still leads the league in receiving yards with 1,148 yards. So that just goes to show you how far of a lead he got it up there, because he takes a week off and still nobody's even able to come close. Like I said, Justin Jefferson has 1,093. So he's on the heels there, but Justin Jefferson needed like a really good game last week, like a 150-yard game to even catch Hill in the receiving yards category right now. And then he also has 4 touchdowns on the season. But Jaylen Waddle, he's not far behind Hill. He's got 878 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns on the season. And then Tua. Tua has not lost a game yet this season. Now, the Dolphins have lost 3 games, but Tua either did not start those games or did not finish those games. So he hasn't lost yet, and he's looking really solid. He's passed for 2,265 yards, 18 touchdowns, and only 3 interceptions. So he's being really, really accurate right now. And I mean, the Dolphins on the offensive side of things, they look like they can't be stopped right now. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Tennessee Titans. Overall record of 7-3. I just really feel like this is one of the most well-coached teams in the league. I mean, they're not flashy at all. And really, whenever I look at the Titans matchup, I always am like, should I take the other team or should I take the Titans? It's always a coin toss for me, because you never know what you're going to get from the Titans. But they're such a scrappy team. They play just like Mike Vrabel. When he played in the league, he was so scrappy. He was a hard-nosed football dude, and he still is to this day. And that's how you can just see it in his team. And they also have just something different about them where they're just really old school. I mean, they go through Derrick Henry on the offensive side of the ball. And these days, it's pretty much a quarterback-driven league. But nah, it's all about Derrick Henry, who's now eclipsed the 1,000-yard mark on the season. He's got 1,010 rushing yards on the season with 10 touchdowns. So, Derrick Henry right now is looking like a perfect 10 with those numbers. And then also, though, it's their defense. Their defense is scrappy and hard-nosed, and they have 30 sacks on the season. I mean, they're right up there with the best defenses in the league. And, I mean, they've made so many good, solid plays. And they're just a team that you never really want to play because you don't know what you're going to get. It's always a possibility that they can lay an egg, but then there's always a possibility that this team is going to wear you out, and then it's going to be the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden they're within like a couple of points, or they have the lead by like three, and you're like, shit, are we going to be able to score? And lots of times you're not able to. So I really like what I'm seeing from the Titans right now. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Baltimore Ravens, overall record of 7-3. The thing with the Ravens is they're too much Lamar Jackson, too much of Lamar Jackson. Now, he's a great quarterback. I love what I see from him, but I knew coming into the season, especially after they traded away Hollywood Brown, his only solid receiver, that they were going to struggle on the offensive side of things. I mean, they really haven't recovered from any of the running back injuries. It feels like every single week it's a different running back starting there. Their offensive line is really good. Lamar Jackson, really good. The defense, very questionable. They start off the game really solid and then have difficulties as the game wears on. So it's just too much Lamar Jackson on this team. And even though they got the win last week, it was a barely win. Like, it just was really a pathetic kind of game from them, even though they got the win. But defensively, they do have 11 interceptions. They also have 31 sacks. It's just that they get at the quarterback. They play great defense until the third and fourth quarter, and that's when you need to play the great defense. And then also Justin Houston, he's got 9 sacks on the season, so he's been that dude as well. So the Ravens, while they're still a solid team, I have felt like the reliance on Lamar Jackson at some point is going to come back and bite them in the ass, and it looks like it's already starting to do that the second half of the season. And then rounding out my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Cincinnati Bengals, overall record of 6-4. And it's really just all about Joe Burrow on this team. He's got 2,890 receiving passing yards and 22 touchdowns and only 8 interceptions. So he's having a very, very solid year. And just offensively, they really can't be stopped. Defensively, they're not bad, but they're just really not anything to brag about. But really, beyond Joe Burrow, it's just all Joe Burrow, and they're just scoring a whole bunch of points. So that's who rounds out my top 10 this week. And now that we're at the midway point in the season, I'm going to, on Wednesdays, on my power rankings days, then I'm going to give you a little look at what the playoff picture's like. So right now in the NFC, if the playoffs were to start today, the number 1 overall seed would be the Philadelphia Eagles, who are 9-1, and right now they are leading the NFC East. Then we have the Minnesota Vikings, who would be the second seed. They're 8-2, and right now they lead the NFC North. Then the San Francisco 49ers would be the 3 seed at 6-4. They currently lead the NFC West. And then rounding out the division winners would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're 5-5, and right now they're on top of the NFC South. So the 3 wild card teams at this point would be the Dallas Cowboys, 7-3, New York Giants, 7-3, and the Seattle Seahawks at 6-4. With 2 teams on the outside, I don't really believe in either of these teams, but who the fuck knows what's going to happen at this point. That'd be the Washington Redskins football team commanders at 6-5, and the Atlanta Falcons at 5-6. I don't really believe in either one of those teams. I kind of feel like the NFC is probably more than likely going to be these teams that I discussed, which is maybe possibly a little bit of shifting when it comes to seeding. But other than that, this kind of looks like the NFC playoff picture. And then moving over to the AFC, the number 1 seed would be the Kansas City Chiefs at 8-2. They currently hold the lead on the AFC West. Then the Miami Dolphins would be the number 2 seed, 7-3 record, and they currently hold the lead on the AFC East. Then the number 3 seed would be the Tennessee Titans, 7-3 record, who have the AFC South lead. And then the Baltimore Ravens, 7-3, currently hold the AFC North lead. And then the 3 wild card teams right now would be the Buffalo Bills at 7-3, New England Patriots at 6-4, and the Cincinnati Bengals at 6-4. 2 teams on the outside of the wild card right now, the New York Jets at 6-4, and the Chargers at 5-5. The Jets, if you didn't hear today, breaking news, they are not going to start Zach Wilson this week. They're actually going to start Mike White. So we'll see what happens there. I kind of feel like that means the Jets are now phoning in their season, and I don't expect them to get one of those last playoff spots. The Chargers, you never know what you're going to get from that team. I wouldn't be shocked if they were able to sneak in there. But right now, that's how the AFC playoff picture looks. And it's kind of funny, too, because if you really look at it, in the NFC, right now, three teams from the NFC East would make the playoffs. That'd be the Eagles, who would win the division, and then the Cowboys and the Giants, and then the Commanders right now are on the outside. So basically, all of the NFC East teams are in playoff contention. And then turning over to the AFC East is exactly the same. Right now, the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Patriots would make the playoffs, and then the Jets are on the outside looking in. But all four of those NFC and AFC East teams are in playoff contention. Like, how fucking crazy is that? When the season began, I mean, especially the NFC East has been like the laughingstock of the league for a couple of seasons now, and now we're like the cream of the crop. We actually have the highest winning percentage out of every single division right now. So that just goes to show you, man, that a lot of people hating on these East teams, but they're beating up on each other, which means they're playing really good teams, and it's going to be crazy to see if three or four of those teams in a division all make the playoffs. That would be insane. Now, I don't really expect that to happen, but that would be insane. All right, so let's move on to the Thanksgiving Day games. We have three games on tap for tomorrow. I love that the NFL has finally added a third game at night. I've always felt like we needed the morning game, the midday game, and then the night game. I've always felt like that. And they finally added a night game a few years ago. And I'm so glad we have three games to watch all day, because that's what Thanksgiving's about to me. I mean, I'm not a holiday person to begin with. As I've mentioned before, I'm a nihilist, so I believe everything is pointless and stupid in life, most certainly holidays. I don't mind people who celebrate them. Obviously, you know, I'll be hanging out with my mom and my brother tomorrow because that's my family. But to me, Thanksgiving is football, and not only is it football, but it's Dallas Cowboys football, motherfucker. So that's all I need. I don't give a shit about turkey. I actually think turkey's boring, bland, and a waste of my time. Luckily, we live in Texas, so we actually get barbecue for our Thanksgiving dinner. So we do add turkey to it, but I don't partake in the turkey. I'm all about the brisket and the sausage and the potatoes, and I eat all that shit. I'll save the turkey for the rest of y'all. But if you enjoy all that, good for you. But since I live in Texas, I'm happy that I have the option of barbecue on my Thanksgiving Day. So let's get into the games. First game is the Buffalo Bills at the Detroit Lions. Right now, the Bills are a 9.5-point favorite. And the Lions are actually, shockingly, on a three-game winning streak. So that's very rare when we could say that about the Lions. So good for them. But unfortunately, they're going to be running into one of the best teams in the league right now, and that would be the Buffalo Bills. I feel like this is going to be your typical Detroit Lions Thanksgiving Day game, where the Detroit Lions are going to get rolled. I feel like the Buffalo Bills are going to come right into this one and just stomp Detroit. I don't even think it's going to be a close game. I think the Bills are going to get the win 30-17. Then the afternoon game is going to be the New York Giants at my Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Cowboys are an 8.5-point favorite. Cowboys are coming off of that huge win over the Minnesota Vikings. Giants are coming off of a bad loss last week against the Lions. So I've noticed I haven't bought into the Giants all season long. I've felt like they're just they're not as good as their record says, but hey, they're getting the win, so that's all that matters. But I feel like towards the end of the season, I felt like they were going to start to stumble, and you could tell last week they were really starting to stumble, and I feel like this is going to be the same thing this week. Usually division matchups are a battle. But I don't really think this one's going to be a battle in the end. I feel like it might start out as a close game, but then the Cowboys are going to run away with it towards the third and the fourth quarter. And I think the Cowboys are going to get the win 28-16. And then the night game on Thanksgiving is the New England Patriots at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Vikings are a 2.5-point favorite. While the Patriots do have a 6-4 record and they have got a few wins, they're just not a good team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And I feel like the Vikings were embarrassed by last week's loss, and I feel like they're going to come into this one and be like, nah, fuck you, Bill Belichick. You may be known for taking out the best player in everybody's game, but we have too many good players on our team, and I feel like the Vikings are going to win this one. I feel like the Vikings are going to own this game from start to finish, and I think they're going to get the win 24-13. All right, now let's move on to college football and the college football playoff rankings. Absolutely nothing has changed in the top four, but we did have a huge upset last week in the rankings with a huge loss. But they're still, that team is still in the top 10, so we'll get to them once we get to them. So let's start off with number one, still Georgia, 11-0. They just barely got by Kentucky last week, 16-6, and then they play Georgia Tech this week. Then at number two, we have Ohio State, who's 11-0. They beat the University of Maryland last week, 43-30. And this week is the big game against Michigan. So, I mean, that's probably going to be the game of the weekend, I would imagine, because I don't really see anything else on this schedule that looks as interesting as that one. I mean, it's obviously a huge rivalry to begin with, but these are the top two and top three ranked teams in the country. So this is going to be an even better game than normal. Then at number three, we have Michigan, 11-0. They just barely got by Illinois this week, 19-17, and they will be at Ohio State on Saturday. Then rounding out at number four, TCU, who are 11-0, and they barely got by Baylor, 29-28, and they will be playing Iowa State on Saturday. Then at number five, we have LSU, who are 9-2. They killed UAB this past weekend, 41-10, and they get Texas A&M this Saturday. Then at number six, USC, 10-1. They played a great game against UCLA. They did get the win, 48-45, and they will be playing against 15th-ranked Notre Dame this weekend. And then at number seven, we have Alabama, overall record of 9-2, and they stomped P, 34-0, and they get Auburn on Saturday. Then at number eight, Clemson is 10-1. Miami. There's been a lot of expectations on Miami this year, and they have lived up to zero of those expectations. Clemson stomped them 40-10, and this week Clemson plays South Carolina. Then at number nine, Oregon is 9-2. They just got by Utah, 20-17, and they will be playing Oregon State, who is the 21st ranked team in the country. And then rounding out the college football top 10 is Tennessee, who are down 9-2, and they suffered a horrible loss against South Carolina this week, 63-38. Yeah. 63. When a team scores that many points, that's nuts. But that shouldn't be happening against a team that's been ranked all season, especially in the top 10. They've been the number one ranked team in the country. They've pretty much been at the top of the list all the way up until like last week. And they only fell to 10, by the way. Like I said, the SEC love is just absolutely insane. When 63 points are put up on you like that, that's just absolutely nuts. This week, they get Vanderbilt. And then we're going to end today's show with some more college football news. Deion Sanders, the coach of Jackson State University, the historical black college university, he just took that football team to their best record of all time. They finished the season 11-0. So congrats to Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders was one of my favorite fucking football players to watch. If you've listened to my show, I sing his praises all the time. I've even mentioned before, if you did not get to witness the greatness that was Deion Sanders, I feel so bad for you. Because that dude was so much fucking fun to watch. And I knew once he became coach of Jackson State, I didn't think it was gimmicky. I know at first when he signed on, I feel like a lot of people felt like that was more just of like, oh, we just got Deion Sanders here and we're just bringing a name so we could fill the stadium, which by the way, they most certainly did. Not only did they have their best record ever in the season with Deion Sanders this year with 11-0, but they set attendance records throughout his entire tenure as coach at Jackson State. As a matter of fact, in his three seasons there, he went 26-5. So Deion has just had a great year, but a great three seasons there. He's brought in some great recruits. He's made them. Because if you don't know, HBCU colleges, they're historically black colleges, and they don't they don't get the same clout as other teams. I mean, I just said they went 11-0. Did you hear me mention them ever at any point this year in the top 10 of college football? Now, there's reasons why, because, of course, they don't get as many good football players, so their teams aren't as good. But I feel like they deserve a shot, especially when you go 11-0. I mean, even if you just give them a shot and they get their ass kicked, so fucking what? That you gave them a shot, and hell, they may not get their ass kicked, but I feel like they should at least, you know, get somewhere in the top 25, but they don't. But it's just really awesome to see that he took over this program. He built up this program. He brought in some great recruits. So he's really set some great roots in this team, and hopefully whoever takes over for him, carries it on, because if you haven't been reading, Deion Sanders has been getting a lot of coaching offers now, and as he should. It looks like it's going to be more college, of course, but it looks like, you know, right now I read that it's a University of South Florida. I can't recall who the other couple of teams are that are recruiting him right now, but whoever gets Deion Sanders, go you. Quite frankly, I'm a Longhorns fan. I almost feel like saying, fuck you, Sark, and let's hire Deion Sanders. I mean, I loved what I saw from Deion Sanders. I love that he's now making a name for himself. I hope to see him continue to succeed. I hope to see him continue to build up programs. And I hope one day maybe he's going to be the next coach at Alabama. Or maybe he's going to be the next head coach in the NFL and be just that next great guy. Because right now he's planting his roots. He did a stellar job at Jackson State University. It's just really cool to see for him. And I've always been a huge Deion Sanders fan, and I'm glad to see that he's continuing on his love for football and spreading his football knowledge, because hands down, if you don't think he's the greatest cornerback of all time, he's definitely top five. To me, he probably is number one. I would have to look at all the stats and everything, but I mean, the impact that dude made on every team he was on is insane. And just, he electrified the field. He changed the game. And it's dope to see that he comes in as a coach and is still changing the game. So Deion Sanders, you keep doing your motherfucking thing. I'm going to keep watching you. Maybe one day we'll see you as the Longhorns coach or the Dallas Cowboys coach or whoever the fuck you're coaching. I know they're going to be great because you were great. I hope everybody enjoys their Thanksgiving and enjoy all the football. And even though it's Black Friday, my ass will still be doing a show. So I will talk to you fools on Friday.